Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And we want to say thank you to everyone who has called in this week and been a part of the spring offering fundraiser here for WMIE. And if you have not done so and would still like to be a partner with them for the next 6 months, they will be more than glad to take your call. 321-632-1000. Tell Paul you heard about it on the Refresh radio program. That would be very helpful for us. It's one of the ways that we get feedback to make sure that y'all are listening and that this program is still being a blessing. We're not doing this because we don't have anything else to do. We just want to be a blessing to our community. And so even if you don't call in to make a pledge, say, hey, I just want you to know I listened to the Refresh radio program. That really helps us. It's not a rock solid metric. There's not Nielsen ratings or anything like that that we get from the radio station. The only way that we have of knowing that anybody is listening other than these lights is the feedback that we get. So thank you all for listening. And if you'd like to be a part of the radio station's ministry, give them a call, 321-632-1000. If you are not prepared for the heat that is more than likely going to arrive in the next month or so, you happen to be in Central Brevard County, I want to encourage you to give Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. I doubt that you have a problem that they have not run across before. And if they have run across that problem before, they have a solution for that problem. And so I want to encourage you to give them a call, especially if you're not prepared for the heat, because you need some way to mitigate that. You know, cold, extreme cold can be life-threatening if you're up north, but extreme heat down here can be life-threatening. And so we don't want you to end up being in a precarious situation. 321-759-3284. That will get you in touch with Bill. You can have him come out if you are in Central Brevard County, and he can resolve your issues quickly and for a fair price. And if you want to talk about the Lord for a minute or two, he might be able to do that as well. He loves Jesus. So today I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, we are going through this topic of what are we as Christians supposed to seek. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so we're looking at what does it look like to seek the kingdom of God. And so we just finished our subtopic of seeking wisdom. We were in Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs 9, 10. And now we're getting ready to launch into another subtopic. And, you know, we could hit this just, lightly and move on to the next one. But it is a topic that is of great interest. It's a word that I hear on the radio. I see in news articles all of the time. It is a social rallying cry, and so I want to take you to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because we are going to be covering most of the chapter during the next program or two, but there's a lot more that I want to cover in this. So if you're looking to for just a superficial touching of this topic, we're not going to do that. It says in verse number 16 of Isaiah chapter 1, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So what we are going to be talking about for several broadcasts is seeking justice. Seeking justice. Now, this is a very interesting command that God gives to us. If we were to read a little farther in chapter 1 of Isaiah, it says how the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. It was full of justice. So Isaiah starts off here and he says, I want you to seek justice. It is a commodity that your civilization used to be known for, but it's not known for it anymore. If it was something that was common, you wouldn't be commanded to search for it. It would be manifest. It would be evident to everybody. And if you didn't know what it was, you know, you might be excused for not seeking it because you wouldn't know what you were missing. But for the people of Judah, this was something that they had been known for because it was something that had existed from the very beginning. And like I said, in verse number 21, it says this community, the nation, was full of justice and righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. That's what it says in verse number 21. So we cannot afford to live in an unjust society. The generation that is being raised up now, I remember a missionary that came to our church, and he was describing the shoes that he was wearing, and I don't remember the brand of the shoes, but he described that the shoes that he wore, when he bought them, they provided another pair of shoes for, I don't remember if it was people in another country or if it was people in homeless shelters. And he made this statement. He said, "Injustice is something that is of great importance to our generation." I won't forget the fact that he was said, "A lack of justice troubles my generation a great deal." Now, I want to start off by saying this. If injustice is a problem for you, then you need to be a Christian. Because God is a just God. You say, well, history is filled with plenty of injustices done by people who claim to be God's people. And I will not dispute that, but I will also bring up a point, and it is an indisputable point, and that is this. Satan is an unjust individual. He has no problem lying. He has no problem victimizing. He wants to manipulate in such a way that people do his bidding and surrender their power to him, and he's got no problem lying, cheating, stealing, oppressing, doing anything he wants to get his desired objective. So you cannot say that you are pro-justice and be anti-God. God is the just God. He is righteous and just and true in all of his ways. There is no injustice in God. So it says that we are to seek justice. It says that society at one point in time was full of justice. So let's find out what happened. Wouldn't that be a good idea? I mean, I know people right now are trying to cancel history and stuff like that, but you know, my number one quote from history is that the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history. And the reason is we keep ignoring history and we repeat the same mistakes over and over again. So Isaiah chapter 1, the breaking forth of Isaiah's ministry upon the nation, he starts off in verse number 2 and he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." So the reason that there had been justice was because of God, because God had spoken, God had established the community, God had established the Ten Commandments, he had established societal law, he had established that there was a king, that there was a prophet, there was a priest, he established judges. Judges were commanded to rule in a manner that was just. He established all of that, and he said, "But my people have rebelled against me." A lot of times people think that they are just rebelling against an entity or an organization. Like, I'm not rebelling against God, I'm rebelling against the church. Well, God is the head of the church. God told Samuel, when society rejected him as a judge and they insisted on having a king, God said, "Don't take it personal. They're not rebelling against you. They're rebelling against me." Now there were problems with Samuel's kids. There were problems with Eli's kids before Samuel. There were problems with Eli, but Samuel stood up and he said, "Tell me, you know, what injustice you have found inside of me that you are rebelling this day?" And they said, "No one's accused you of doing anything wrong." And he said, "Well, you all have made a serious error in wanting a king." And all of a sudden, there were some manifestations in the atmosphere that showed how displeased God was with this situation. And all of a sudden they realized that they had rebelled. You know, God's people have a history of thinking that the grass is greener outside of God's domain or outside of walking in covenant with God. You know, the truth of the matter is God is sovereign all over the place, but we have a free will. And many people choose to think that it is more just to not walk in covenant with God than it is to walk in covenant with God. As we go through this study, I'm telling you all the time that I learn stuff on this radio program myself. And I'm going to share some of those truths with you in the days to come. He said, one of the reasons why there is no justice is because the people rebelled against God. Verse number 3, it says, "Israel does not know, my people do not consider. As a result, or alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward." So as a result of their rebellion, instead of finding forgiveness, they found their burden of iniquity and sin and inequity and injustice increasing. You know, I've had people that defined the term iniquity as being related to the term inequity. In other words, there are things in society that are not equal. And so you will find many times that there are people who are not treated the same way. I think society has a word for that. Let me see if I can remember. Oh, yes, hypocrisy. Whenever there is inequity or there is injustice, it is because there is hypocrisy, and that means that there are people who are wearing masks not for protection from a virus, but they are wearing masks to protect other people from seeing the reality that's going on in their lives underneath the mask. So whenever a people is a nation of sinners, the burden of injustice just continues to build and build and build, and everybody is part of what it calls here the brood of evildoers. The brood of evildoers. And when you have that, you're going to have anarchy, where people are not doing what is right in God's eyes. Every person is doing what is right in their own eyes. And everybody's eyes see things differently. So we live in a society right now where people have perspective, and they have bought into the adage that perception is reality. And perception is not necessarily reality. Accurate perception is a reality. You know, I don't know, you know, if it happens to anybody else, my facial muscles, they do pretty much whatever they want to do. I've told you on the radio program, just about everybody in my family can wink except for me. I can't do that. I mean, when I get one eye closed, the other eye is just barely opened. And even my grandkids want to show off that, hey, look, I can wink and Grandpa can't wink. You know, I've got, and so as a result of not being able to, sometimes I get accused of having a facial expression that is manifesting one thing, and somebody will say, well, what's that look about? And it's like, what look? I'm sitting here, you know, counting the dots on the ceiling tiles. That's all I'm doing. I mean, there's nothing going on there. And so, you know, there are times when, you know, people are perceiving things, but it is not an accurate perception of what is going on in the person's heart. I will tell you this, when God says that this community, this nation, was a brood of evildoers, his perception was accurate, because he knows all of the facts, knows all of the thoughts, knows all of the intentions, knows everything that has been done and every word that has been said. He says, they are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord. Now, if you go back to one of our earlier studies, we saw that there was a connection between the concept of not seeking and forsaking. Okay, so if we are seeking God, we are not going to forsake the Lord. But if we do not seek the Lord, we will forsake him. They're not identical opposites, but there is a connection there. And so seeking God is not something that is optional. It is something that is mandatory. And he says, as a result of these things, they have backslidden. They are no longer in relationship with the Holy One of Israel. Okay? If there is justice, it radiates out of the holiness of God. Okay? That's where it comes from. If you do not have a relationship with the Holy One of Israel, there is no way that you are going to be able to manufacture justice. Everything that you come up with will just be to a different degree of injustice. He goes on and he says, all of these conditions, the inequity, the injustice, the evil doing, the corruption, the forsaking God, all that has done is provoked God to anger. And verse number 5, it says, why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. Listen to how he describes their condition. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. In other words, what he is saying here is you have a deterioration of health in society, and it can all be traced back to the fact that people have rebelled against God and they're not giving God any consideration whatsoever. I get an email 5 days a week from a Christian magazine, and it's just got a few little articles in there. And I saw a headline, and it was like, oh my goodness, what's that headline about? And it talked about how a government official had stated that in the committee that they were running, that they weren't going to give the Bible and what the Bible said any consideration whatsoever. That's the Word of God. If you are not going to get your morality from the Word of God, it is already going to be built on a faulty foundation. And so you're going to continue to see breakdowns of health. You're going to see breakdowns of health in people mentally. You're going to see breakdowns of health in people spiritually. You'll see breakdowns in the health of family. You'll see the breakdowns in health of companies. You'll see a breakdown of health in government, in finances. You will see it, and people will not even think about treating. You know, over the last year, we have pulled out all of the stops to try and stem the tide and bring COVID-19 to a screeching halt instead of it being a tsunami that wipes out massive amounts of the world's population. Okay? That's commendable. Okay? Let me ask you this. Why have we not stepped up with the same sort of effort to stem the tide of evil? The breakdown of society. Okay? How do I want to say this? We tend to look at treating the symptoms without treating the cause, and you're just going to chase one symptom after another doing that. When we get down to the root cause of it, America and the world has a God neglect problem. And as a result, it is manifesting itself in injustices that we didn't used to have in society that we now have. Okay? So those are realities that we are talking about. Let's set a goal that the church is not going to be a place of injustice. Set a goal that your home is not going to be a place of injustice. Set a goal that your business is not going to be a place of injustice. And those things are highly recommended. And when people see the contrast between justice and injustice, they're either going to persecute the just, those who are living justly, or they're going to reject injustice, and they're going to want justice operating in their life. Verse 7 says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Verse number 9, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. It says, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10, give ear to the law of our God. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? So God begins to speak, and he says, why are you doing what you're doing? Okay, so here was what was going on. There were all of these serious spiritual and moral issues going on in society, and yet they were continuing on with their superficial acts of worship, and they thought that they were doing okay. Isaiah came on the scene as a prophet, not to, just to tell people what was going to come in the future, but to summon them back into relationship with God. And he says in verse number 13, he says, bring no more futile sacrifices. The end of verse 13, I cannot endure inequity and the sacred meeting. God, if there's injustice, God's not going to be sticking around for it. He says in verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So when we pick up on Monday, we're going to pick up again on verse number 16, which is where we started with all of this. And we're going to see, what is God's prescription? What is God's plan of action for restoring justice back to a people who once had a just society, but it wasn't so anymore? You see, God does not want brokenness and affliction and inequity and inequity and iniquity prevailing in your life. He wants you living under the blessing of God, and that requires that we seek justice. I want to encourage you, seek God, seek justice, and seek him with others at the House of God this weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life is in his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. And I had